Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the one and only MTG in Quarantine podcast. As usual, before we begin, I'd like to give a quick shout-out to my local game store, Guardian Games. Find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to give a huge shout-out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine. It's a huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, Jenna, the Filthy MTG Casuals, and Coach Jera for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine for more information. Well, it was about time I finally brought it back by popular demand. We are talking about CDH. Obviously, I hope you haven't hated me, you know, kind of going away from CDH the last couple of months, because I know it's been kind of a weird little hiatus here, but I can guarantee you it is back. It is back to stay, and hopefully you're going to be here along for the ride. And again, I hope you've been enjoying, all the listeners out there, you've been enjoying my intro to CDH episodes, the deck techs I've been doing, as well as the very insightful various content segments that I've done with amazing members of the CDH community on Twitter. And again, I have another amazing episode in line for you today. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce today's episode, introducing Matthew from Lamora's Cards. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
No problem. So Matthew, before we get started here today, would you like to give the listeners out there a quick shout out to all the content that you create over on YouTube?
Yeah, I'm, like I said, Matthew from Lamora's Cards. If you know me, it's probably from my Learn to Play series, where I bring on experienced members of the CDH community to teach new players how to play some of the most popular and powerful decks in the format. And then I have some other guides that are kind of one-offs, helping you get started in CDH or talking about general topics like card power levels and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely a good series to get started on. So anyway, Matthew, I think the first question for today here, and really to get us started on this whole conversation, is when is your CDH origin story? Obviously, we all get into this end of the format a little bit differently, and the listeners are probably sick of me talking about my own journey as CDH. So I really think it'd be a good piece of groundwork to really hear about how you got hooked on this end of the format and why you just started to really get into CDH in the first place.
So I'm kind of a magic baby compared to a lot of the people that I usually interview or talk with in the community. I got started in around 2017 in just magic in general. I got into Commander, I want to say late 2019, when I was able to just kind of wrangle up some of my friends to start playing Magic, and we were all playing Modern, and then we ended up like, oh, there's a format where you can actually, you know, play with four people. This will work a lot better. And then from there, just super getting into Commander, getting focused, and just like, I really like to dive into like new formats or games I get into and learn all the stuff. And then that sort of naturally brought me to learning about CDH. When I was first sort of getting into it, there's a bit of that like stigma that you pick up even pretty early on, just not even as like a major part of the community. Like I sort of was on the outside of the Magic community and still picked up a lot of that. And thinking like, oh, it's just people winning turn one and there's not even really any gameplay. It's just go as fast as you can. And then just watching, deciding like, okay, I'm going to check this out just to see what it looks like. And then watching channels like Casually Competitive and especially Playing with Power was really starting to take off around that time. This has been like early to mid 2020. And then just watching it and being like, this is some of the coolest stuff I've ever seen. Just seeing the big stack battles and all the craziness that happens in one of these games is just really immediately kind of hooked to me.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you've been playing Magic longer than I have. I started in 2019 and started playing Commander late that year. So I guess we've been playing Commander about the same amount of time. Ish.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I was sort of in and out of Magic, I would say. Like 2017 to 2018, 2019, I would come into it and play it. And then I think Arena launched somewhere in that window, and it was easier to get into it. And then, but once you can, like, I think a big thing for me was once I had, like, a decent friend group to play paper with, it's just so easy to let it just eat up all of your free time.
Mm. Yeah, so anyway, now that we have that little bit of background right there, let's talk about your show. And anyone who is looking at your YouTube page, which I am doing right now to make sure I don't screw up, right? Again, that's very important as the host of my own podcast to make sure I'm actually know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, there is a lot. You've done a lot of learn to play videos with really, really established players in the community over the last couple of months here. I mean, we see a lot of the staple decks. Obviously, it hurts me a little bit as a Godo player, Godo stan, to not see that on here, but hopefully that'll change eventually. But really, it's really cool to see all of these really awesome decks, piloted and discussed by, in some cases, kind of the four foremost players in the format. Like again, we're just talking about before the show, you had Ken Bowman on here to talk about Karkashima, just like I did. You had Dan from Modern Early Anonymous on to talk about Kess, just like on my show. And you've probably done a better job, but again, that's beside the point here, is that you've really gotten a chance to, basically make these how to play guides on YouTube for a lot of these decks. As a newer player to CDH myself, we did again, I did mention before the show that, I'm still trying to learn a lot of the things about CDH. And, some of the decks, when you look at them, let's say on the deck database, they don't necessarily make sense just as a deck list. This is the reason why these decks have primers, and the folks who put the primers together put a lot of time in there to try to make the decks intelligible, right? And the fact that you are able to not only get one of the foremost players on to talk about the deck, but then also just have them really go in detail with what the deck is trying to do is extremely important. So I guess my next question here for you is, how exactly did you get started in content, and why do deck techs for CDH decks?
So the beginning of my content for the longtime fans, they'll know that I did a lot of kind of weird stuff where I was just kind of throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticked, where I was covering like basic magic stuff and talking about horror movies. Definitely moved on from that and focused in. But so I really started with like serious content with talking about magic from a game design perspective, or I sort of talked about the points of Commander that I thought lend the game to being CDH, and it's why I think CDH is going to be the kind of the hot thing and the way to play Commander going forward within the next few years. But yeah, a lot of my decisions on what I make is usually on what I don't see out there. So like for me getting into CDH, the big thing that sort of slowed me down was just the absolute wall of information you have to get through to even watch like gameplay content. Like if you want to watch an episode of Play to Win or Playing with Power and really know what's happening, you kind of have to like really slow it down, really take note of the cards that you're seeing if you're unfamiliar or you're newer to the game like I was. And it was just, the passion that you have for it, if it immediately excites you, makes it a lot easier to get through those sort of barriers. But to me, as someone really big on just like community growth, removing those barriers the best I can felt like just a great use of my time and something that I felt with the help of much more knowledgeable players, something that I could realistically do.
And yeah, I think in the last couple of months you've really put out a lot of absolute banger episodes. Again, I just name dropped a few folks already, but yeah, there's just so many of the main decks you're going to see already on your channel, and I'm sure you have a lot more of them coming up here in the coming months.
Yeah, I took a bit of a break from it in January just because, like you said, I kind of put out a ton of them and was really working on them. They are a bit of a, work. They're sort of, I think the thing that sets them apart, other than just being sort of short, is I try to put a lot of effort into the editing and make them really smooth. Because to me, it's just like, I really want every part of it to feel like natural and like you're being taught in a way that you don't even really think about it. You just kind of, the information just kind of gets stuck into your head by the end of the video, and then you're just a better Magic player for it, and hopefully you found something you want to play. A lot of that is in the guests that I bring on, like you mentioned. When you get really, really good Magic players, like someone like Comedian to talk about a deck that he essentially created with the help of other community members, like with Winota. And then just like, I think the information is there in a lot of other videos, like Ian's videos himself, you know, he has Winota deck techs, and just trying to trim it down to that 10-ish minute mark to just really hone in on specific info that at least I feel with the format I try to have is sort of like moves naturally, it progresses, and it's just like the need to know stuff that lets you know why you might be excited about a deck. And then if it does immediately excite you, what you're going to need to know to succeed with it and be able to like really pilot it at a level where you're able to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. So I think here we're going to get to the first real stumper question, and that's going to be, which has been your favorite one of the Learn to Play episodes?
Ooh, that's good. I really loved getting to probably the ones I was the most excited for was getting to do the Play to Win ones with Dylan and mm-hmm. Cameron. Those are really exciting. Any of them that I've done where we kind of like have a little bit of time extra at the end, because like, so for the people sort of unfamiliar with these, they're like 10 minute ish episodes, but they're usually like 30 minute to an hour long interviews that I try to cut down and appear like they're scripted. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for the most part, we're still like, it's just, you know, me talking with like Cameron from Play to Win, who's just really great and really funny. And any of the ones where just like that interview is really fun to work on is those are usually the best ones. The one I did with Eric Taylor, who I now have a podcast with on Korvold, every time I would interview something or do a video with him on anything, we would end up talking like an hour about the thing and then another 2 hours afterward about it. Just when you get really passionate people to come on and talk about it, it's just fun and exciting really the whole time. And even when like the work part is done, you just keep doing it afterwards. I'll say from a more technical side of it, I for the most part just enjoy them more as they go along, because I really think it took like 5 or 6 episodes to kind of hit my stride on the editing and try to clean it up and really make it sort of have like a presentation that was consistent throughout each of them. So for the most part, the further they go on, the more I enjoyed that technical part. But really, any of them where I got to interview cool people, which is pretty much all of them, the more we got to talk, the better they were. Shauna was another one that was really great. She mm-hmm. really went into detail on Niv-Mizzet. It made my life really hard to edit it. It's actually the hardest part. The better the information you get, the harder to edit those videos are, because
no doubt.
When you get like an hour. So like one that I have coming up is like Eisenhertz, who did Urza. A fantastic Magic player and content creator. He knows what he's talking about so well, it actually makes my life harder because I don't know what to cut to make it a 10-minute video.
Oh, man. That's the worst. But it's also a good problem to have, too.
Yeah, because it's going to be a good video. It's just going to be one that, you know, you really got to focus in on to try to keep that. Because, again, like I said, keeping it concise, I think, is a major thing that helps it stand out. And for getting people in the door is kind of my main thing, where if people with the bare minimum of what they need to know, if that excites them, they're going to figure out the rest, because the rest is out there. You can dive into as many, you know, hour-long deck techs as you want in podcast form, like on this show, and or just get out there and play. Like, the information's out there, and just getting them in the door is kind of what I try to focus on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's definitely been something I've been trying to do as well with these shows, since we are kind of doing very similar work with our deck tech videos, and also kind of like intro to CDH content. It's always interesting to talk to other CDH folks and content creators, especially about how they're trying to pay it forward to the format. Obviously, we're all trying to build this strange little like gremlin of a community where we're already playing in a kind of fan-made format. I know that people complain about Wizards basically trying to push Commander, but you know, it ultimately, this is really the only format in Magic. I mean, maybe except for some of the newer ones, but I mean, really the oldest statesman of, I would say, the fan-created formats. And the fact that we're now starting to see large-scale tournaments and we're seeing just a glut of CDH content is really cool and also gives us that opportunity to try to sell this end of the pool, so to speak, to the larger, you know, base of Commander players who may or may not be interested. Obviously, we can't get everyone interested. Probably could tell you a million stories about trying to find competitive games at my local game store in the last year where people just don't want to play competitive. But
yeah,
maybe if we demonstrate that there is actual prize support, which people seem to still be very interested in. Obviously, if you've heard anything on Twitter about the Pro Tour discourse and all that, I'm not going to go into that because that's really outside the purview of this episode. But again, a lot of that is based upon well-known players playing for fairly substantial prizes. Well, now CDH has that. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It was really cool being at Silicon Dynasty not too long ago back in San Jose, California, where I was a competitor there. I'm not very good at CDH, but the fact is that there is prize support there, so the best players are going to show up and do their very best to try to win $2,000. May not seem like a lot, but, you know, the fact that we've only really been talking about tournament EDH for about, what, the last year or so, I think that demonstrates we're making progress, and people are getting interested. There is starting to be a buzz about CDH that I don't remember seeing back in 2020 when I first started digging my toe into content creation. There's definitely momentum here, and there is a market, however satiated it is right now, for at least in people's opinions, there is for trying to onboard new people. So we're kind of trying to do the legwork here in our own unique way, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely the sort of explosion of Commander. Like I said, I only started in 2017-ish. But even in that short period of time, like I remember 2019, still it was like, you know, you were playing Standard or Modern. And then there was also Commander if you wanted to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then really quickly, for like late 2019, sort of War of the Spark, Throne of Eldraine era, going into 2020, Commander just completely took over all of Magic. And at this point, saying that you play Magic is almost synonymous with saying that you play Commander.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me will sort of is a lot of the, like, the growth of CDH has really tracked with the growth of Commander and people like us, again, doing stuff to help people get into the format. I think at the start, like when I was getting into CDH again, it was harder to do because there weren't, you know, Rebel, what, didn't have videos telling you about the basics. I didn't have videos. You didn't have videos. And it was a lot of just like, here's some gameplay. And then there's like, you know, hour, 2 hour long deck text. And, you know, at best, or you're looking in Discord to try to find the info. And so, mm-hmm. Yeah, making that a lot more accessible has helped. And just in general, I think as new players come to, you know, Commander, not just like new players from Magic, just outside of Magic, you know, a lot of the natural process of getting into a game is like, okay, well, how do I win? And I think a lot of the sort of casual mentality of, you know, this is the kind of goofy, silly, you know, whatever way to play Magic, as sort of falls off when you're, you know, when you think of playing Magic as playing Commander. It's just, you're playing a game. And so I definitely think the growth of CDH will continue because new people, I think, are just attracted to that. And people in general, like, when you're playing a game, you kind of want to optimize it. That's just sort of human nature. And really trying to, I think noticing that and really having that click in my head was another big thing where I was like, this is going to explode. And if I can help it do that, it will mm-hmm. just happen even quicker. And it's just going to be, like you were saying, like when tournaments happen, it's just another aspect of it that just draws people in. Because every time I see a tournament announced, there's still, I see commenters saying like, oh, people play, you know, Commander competitively. That's weird. And then, you know, you get another one every day, right? There's just mm-hmm. new people finding out there's this whole other side of this game. And that, in my hot take opinion, works a lot better than casual play. You just get to it really has just opened up. And the appeal has just spread. And then, like you said, when you start throwing prize support in there, too, it can really do it. And just, like, the community aspect of it was, it sort of lacked a bit in Commander. When you aren't gathering for those tournaments, Commander players typically didn't have a reason to do that. Now that you do have a reason, even though you're playing like a slight variant of Commander, it's still allowing those players to play the game that they love in a big community setting where they're all there to do that thing. And then when you're done, you know, you're out of bracket, you're still getting to jam games. And it's like the spirit of Commander exists even more so now, I think, that it's got competitive, because it's just that environment is there all over the place now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's definitely good that you brought up some of the other formats. I mean, let's just take MagicCon Philly, which is coming up here in a couple of weeks, just as an example, is that the old Grand Prix model really doesn't exist anymore for Magic events. It's, yes, there is the Pro Tour that's still going to be happening at that event, but a lot of that whole main event has basically been shunted off to other events that have already happened, and the Pro Tour just happens to be the kind of the culmination of that. So we're starting to see with the Command Zone especially that there is a dedicated place to play. And again, if I'm remembering this correctly from previous events, they usually kind of have the quote-unquote power level discussion, whether you want to play more casual games, whether you want to play more competitive games, try to be able to find people to get in your pod. I'm not going to go into that whole, it's a whole can of worms. I hate power level conversations because everyone's deck is a seven, right? So, yep. So it's really cool to be able to have this end of Commander where you basically have already had that Rule Zero conversation going in. Now, I mean, I'm going to disagree with you a bit. I am a huge casual player. I love kind of racing towards the super casual end of the format. But where CDH kind of fits for me is everything you said, is that it's also a community that's kind of in a way a little bit more unified than the casual community. Because just as you did mention, is that there was just never that cohesion, I suppose, between casual Magic players. Because again, we do have a Rule Zero conversation to try to make sure that no one's pub stomping, try to make sure that people are having a good time. A lot of the decks I build are super bizarre because I like doing silly things that people are going to remember and tell stories about. So, you know, that is why I play more casual Magic. But when I play CDH, it is to scratch that itch to try to be able to do things as optimally as possible. I love going between the two, basically flipping the switch, saying, I want to play more casually today, or I'm just going to go all out. I'm just going to jam Godo and try to ram a turn one Helm of the Host down your throat. I like that duality of it. And the fact that we have this, I'm trying to think of a good word here, but we have this nice little hotbed of a community in CDH. And again, I'm going to refer back to Silicon Dynasty, is that I did crap in the tournament. Let's not sugarcoat this. I went 0-5-1. Actually, no, 1-5, excuse me. And that one win being a bye. So, you know, I did not do well at all at the tournament, and I wasn't the only one, but that sense of community that we had just going to that event, it would have felt like that if we had, or maybe not even felt like that if we'd been going to a modern or a standard tournament or something like that, but this felt very different. This felt like a uniquely Commander experience because we're all kind of curious, what are you playing, but also, you're not just playing, hey, I'm playing the meta. There are rogue decks. Yes, you're going to have those in Modern. You're going to have those in Legacy, Standard, you know, Historic, all the online formats, etc. But I feel like we still kind of have that social format, just as you mentioned a few minutes ago, that we're going to be talking about all the changes we've made to the decks, or you're seeing a wider variety of decks. I mean, I played against a lot of different builds just in my five rounds that I ended up actually playing. I only played against one blue farm deck, I think, which actually really surprised me because I honestly thought I was going to be just seeing that every game, and I just didn't. So I think it just kind of speaks to how wide open this format is. Especially in tournament settings, it has that feeling of a tournament that, you know, you're playing the Swiss rounds, you're still trying to win. But when you left the hall after a round, or you were just hanging out with your friends, it was cool to be able to swap those stories. But again, it's just that social aspect too that I don't think you have in the 60 card constructed formats. People are very open and willing to talk about their deck lists, where I feel like in the 60 card formats, people are probably a little less likely to give you the shakedown of exactly what they're running. And again, that's my opinion. I may be wrong on this. I don't know. But I feel like Commander, even in that tournament setting, was still a lot more sociable. Yet it still had the tournament experience. I'm not going to lie. I will keep talking about the 3-hour match. in the top 16 round, where Cal from Playing With Power was involved in that match. He obviously didn't win, unfortunately, but that game went 3 hours. It was ridiculous. There was a huge crowd that had got come around that. And then the top four match, I just remember being out in the hallway talking to some friends and then just hearing the roar of cheers from the next room over as that match ended. I mean, I don't know. It just had everything you wanted from a Magic tournament. It was just a more sociable experience. And I think that's really sticking with me now as we're doing this discussion is it has all the tenets of Commander, but that doesn't mean it can't be a tournament viable format too.
Yeah, there's really one thing I really like to say. If you watch my older videos, you probably read this a lot, but it's that you hear a lot that Commander is a casual format, and I think that statement is basically demonstrably false, but it is you cannot argue that Commander at any level, at anything, DDH, the most janky casual, it is a social game either way. Like, there are elements of the game where it encourages social play, and you will be rewarded for making those sort of plays. Mm-hmm. Talking to the table will reward you at every level, and that aspect of the game becomes part of the community. Like you were saying, like, in a tournament environment, that feeling of you're playing a game with the table and there's interaction that isn't even game actions that's taking place, I think leads to CDH feeling more like a community, because it is sort of like a gathering every time you play a game, even at a top level tournament table. And that, I think the tournament stuff does help too, because there's like a shared level of knowledge and experience and expectation that CDH players have, where because we all sort of know what we're in for, there's like these play patterns and staples that it's really easy to just see a game once you're in the community. And like you said, building a crowd of it, it could be harder to build a crowd that actually knows what's happening in like a big casual level game, where just the cards that are in play are like stuff you've never even heard of. And you know, just being able to, like, I think having that sociable feel to a game that you're playing, and still having that like drive to get to improve yourself and to understand everything about it, just is actually a lot more cohesive than you would expect it to be. I think it all works together to blend into something that's really unique for a competitive grassroots sort of community to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know I've been rambling about this, but it's just, I had a ton of fun at that tournament. And when was the last time you heard someone go to a large scale 60 card constructed format and said, I went, you know, 0-5, I went 0-3, but I had the greatest time. I mean, I just feel like that's where we differ as a format. It's just, we can still just enjoy that community. We can enjoy just being there, even if we're doing crappy. I mean, I a couple of friends of the show, like Faded MTG was there. He did 0-3 drop. Sean from the Woodland Deckhouse, Vile Smashed, I think did similarly poorly and dropped. But again, it's like hanging out with those two was really awesome all weekend. Getting to watch Ken Bowman go off with his Karkashima deck and just absolutely boggle the minds of everyone else at the table. So many, again, that top 16 match with Cal there, where, you know, it was impossible to get close to the table. I wanted to see what was going on, and I couldn't get to the table. That is how many people were hanging around that pod watching it in real time. I mean, I just don't know if you get that sense of community in the 60 card formats. And it's just so cool to see our funny little social format, kind of the black sheep of the Magic universe for a long time, really start to come into its own and start to adopt the feeling of those Grand Prix main events, but also just keep its own unique identity as well. It's just, it's really cool to see that. And I really hope that through all these conversations, the listeners out there, if you haven't already tried out CDH, I'm serious, give it a shot. It may not be for you. CDH may not be for everyone. Depends on exactly where you want to fall on the commander scale, but I think you really owe it to yourself to at least give it a shot, right? Because it's still commander, it's still the social aspect, it still has all the politics of casual. It just goes a little bit faster. So I think that's really the only difference. But yeah, it's still a social format, and we're going to eventually see where things go. I mean, again, for the folks listening out there, the fact that a rogue deck did top 16 at Silicon Dynasty just kind of broke the internet wide open. I mean, we weren't even talking about Slicer a few weeks ago, and then bam, top 16 at Silicon Dynasty, and now that's all anyone wants to talk about.
Yeah, and you see that happen a lot, because I think there's one, having an Eternal format that is still in its infancy in terms of getting a lot of attention into how to optimize it, just leads to a lot of innovation. And then when you put that on top of that, you have a frankly ridiculous amount of cards being put out every single year. It definitely leads to a game that almost can't get stale for the most part. And then you just have these big events where, again, whether it's Brewer's Advantage or it's, you know, maybe this is a real deck, that sort of excitement about something new is always fun. And the sort of high variance nature of CDH leads it to be where it's like, you can't really be that conclusive about dismissing a deck. Like, I think it's a bit foolish to try to say like, oh, well, that deck's just a meme, they didn't know about it. It's like, we're still only in our sort of beginning phases of being able to really look at data to even determine what decks are good, where we're having to really reevaluate decks that have been considered, you know, staples of the game and mm-hmm. the top decks. And a lot of that is sort of shaking off, and I think it lends to a lot of new excitement for these sort of things. And the unknown and the unexplored is just always going to be interesting, as at least to me, that aspect of the game of knowing, like, you know, there is probably some really broken deck out there that no one's discovered yet is always something for me that I think appeals just generally to commander players, that idea of innovating or having something unique that you can put your stamp on. And it's really there even at the top level. It might involve, you know, more staples than you might put your casual deck and higher level cards, but there's definitely a lot of that still there, that spirit.
Yeah, definitely. And again, I think that's why what all of us CDH players are trying to do is find the next big thing in our part of the format. I mean, I'm just brewing a lot of kind of more fringe lists because that's where I kind of find my perfect little CDH spot. Is I kind of like trying to, you know, really fight against the meta and just see what I can brew. Doesn't mean those decks are very good, but again, I'm trying to take that bit of a casual mindset, put it in CDH, and just see what happens. So, I mean, really, there is a lot of room for folks to give it a try. So, yeah, I think before we get to the end of the episode here, Matthew, I think the real question here is, where do you foresee your content going in the next couple of months, maybe a year or two? And what do you think we're going to be talking about, say, this time next year?
Oh, man. So right now, the newest thing I've started working on is my podcast, Learning CDH, with my good friend Eric Taylor, who is a longtime Magic player who's played the game almost as long as I've been alive. So working on that, just another axis to sort of try to get new people in, where I can go a little bit longer form than my typical like 4 to 10 minute videos. Learn to Play is going to be coming back. I'd like to do those maybe a little less regularly going forward once I get sort of the main decks covered. I do have some more fringe or niche things that I'd like to cover, and I've even recorded already. So just going to be coming for me is going to be more sort of one-off content where I dive into maybe some statistics or game design elements or player psychology. I really love talking about that. It's so much fun. But and then, yeah, the future of CDH, I think, is really bright. We're seeing the number of tournaments happening. There's a tournament happening like every weekend, which was the case last year. It's already exploded with like Chaos and Mox Masters,
mm-hmm.
And then big events from Eminence. There's an event happening almost, you know, constantly. So it's really giving people something to be excited about. And to me, that's a big part of a sort of grassroots community you need to be able to latch onto, is like the thing that we're all looking forward to. And yeah, I think it's really looking good in the future. There's lots of good stuff coming out. Hopefully I'm here for all of it to just keep doing it. Hopefully I get to, it'd be nice if next year we get to talk about me, top four in one of these tournaments. That would be nice.
And
That's a big goal.
yeah, about the same time that I actually win a CDH tournament match, right?
Yeah.
Oh man, yeah, goals. Our goals can be a little bit different, but again, that's what's so great about this is we don't necessarily need to define our success by how well we do at tournaments. We can kind of
Oh, yeah.
feeling like part of like we're part of the community also definitely helps, even if we do terribly at tournaments. At least that's kind of where I've been. Is I didn't go to Silicon Dynasty to win. I mean, I want to win. Doesn't mean I'm actually going to win, but you just have fun with the experience. And yeah, you celebrate your victories. You just kind of deal with your losses. You shrug them off and you go play the next day. So it's definitely the thing about casual Commander that I love, and CDH has that as well. So yeah, again, Matthew, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. It's been awesome just, having these conversations about tournament magic, talking about the Learn to Play series, and we'll definitely have to reconvene some point in the future to see where your content goes.
Oh yeah, for sure. Thank you so much for having me. It's always nice to get to be on the guest side of it when you're used to hosting, like I know you're familiar with.
Oh yeah.
Just be able to kind of let loose and let the other person do all the hard work.
Yeah, I don't think the listeners out there, unless you really do a content stream, you really don't know how difficult it is sometimes to, know exactly what to say. And yeah, I'm grasping at straws here a little bit, but that's what I love about the discussions, right? Is that I can utilize my knowledge of the format, and then my guests can utilize the knowledge of the format, and then we just make awesome content, and we both sound like amazing experts.
Yeah,
So.
even if we're wrong, as long as you just have that confidence, just bump up the editing, do it, fix it in post, it's all gonna be great.
Yep, add some explosions, wee 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 and all that. Yeah. I probably have to hire an editor for that one, but yeah. So anyway, again, Matthew, before you leave here, do you want to give another quick shout out to your YouTube channel?
Yep, you can find me over at Lamoris Cards over on YouTube, trying to do two uploads a week, best I can. You can find the podcast over there, as well as future Learn to Play episodes, YouTube shorts that have, as far as I can tell, have just taken over my channel. But that's the YouTube algorithm for you. But yeah, everything you want to check out, you can check out over there. You can follow me on Twitter at Lamoris Cards to hear my bad opinions about things I would change or what I'm liking or what I'm playing. And yeah, keep up to date with everything that's happening.
All right, sounds good. And I will be dropping the link to your YouTube. Should I do the YouTube or the Moxfield? Or sorry, the link tree in the episode description?
You could probably just do the YouTube channel, it'd be fine.
Okay, sounds good. All right, I will drop that into the episode description of this episode. So if you're interested in checking out more of this content, just go on down using your whatever, whatever platform you're listening to this on. Just go down in the description, click on that link, and you'll be able to start checking out those videos in no time. And if you're interested in checking out any of my CDH content or just any of the content I've done on this channel in the past, you can find those again on the usual podcast outlets, even though you've already found it, but you can also find it on all the major podcast outlets. So that's your Googles, your Apple, Spotify, Player FM, Rocket Cast, Pocket Cast, Overcast, Breaker, Magic FM, million others. I never remember all of them. Last one probably doesn't even exist, but who cares? Yeah, if it's a major podcast outlet, odds are you can probably find my stuff on there. And you can also find me on the Twitter at MTGNQuarantine. I'd like to utilize this opportunity again to give another huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/MTGNQuarantine. It's a huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Nick S, Frugal Brutal, Jen of the Filthy MTG Casuals, and Coach J-Ro for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGNQuarantine for more information. And I hope you enjoyed listening to this CDH episode of the MTGNQuarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.